Blog Talk Radio.
The mediocrity that I won't accept. As long as God give me life, I'm gonna give my best. Greater is in me than what your eyes can see. My current situation is not the best of me. Not because you tried it and it never worked out. Don't try to discourage me or fill me with doubt. Faith is the substance of things so far and the evidence of things that I've not seen. I'm gonna go higher. Don't tell me that I can go higher.
LiveDeliverance.com. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. And we'll be studying on part four of You Said Amen, and Now What? So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your love, your word, and your spirit. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men. As you teach us how we should live in this present world, may we now awake unto righteousness and slumber no more. by walking in the Spirit and the fullness of His grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory. For You've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, we want to just go back into this, and I'm going to try to wrap it up. I have a couple of other topics that I'd like to share, but I'm looking around and talking to people day in and day out, and the people that you would think would be settled and secure are still dabbling in church, dabbling in the Spirit, as opposed to living in it. And that's why we said, you said amen, now what? Because sometimes it seems that people are trying to just twist God's arm into doing what's necessary. Instead of having a heart that's filled with faith, connected to a belief that's guaranteed your results and your accomplishments in life. See, God says in Isaiah chapter 55 that His word will not return to Him void. But it does say that the word has to prosper in the thing whereunto He sent it. So sometimes we say amen, and we just put the promise on a shelf, if you would. We just say, okay, God, come on, do what you got to do. But see, if you didn't activate the thing that God wanted you to activate, then how can he accomplish what He wanted to accomplish, what He said He would accomplish? See, those are the things that we have to really, really look at and see if we're doing the will of God from the heart. Or are we just doing what's next? See, this is not a formula, beloved. This is life. And life has processes. Life starts at birth, and then it matriculates until culmination, until the thing is finished. See, that's what we want to do, is we want to begin to let life happen on the inside so that it can be displayed on the outside. Sometimes, you know, we're trying to, and these are the words I heard today, we're trying to pimp God or put God on display. He doesn't need us for His display. The Bible says in Psalms 19 that the heavens display the glory of God. So He doesn't need us for display. He chooses to use us for display. But we're the ones that's going to have to allow what He has said to be set forth in the right way. See, because if I'm the one pulling the strings, if you would, okay, I'm using God as a good luck charm, as a puppet. See, then that's not much honor. The Bible asks us to give unto the Lord the honor and the glory that's due His name. Give that to Him. We should not be demanding of God anything because we said amen, so now, you know, God, do your thing. No. Amen, I'm finding, is not at the end of the thing. Amen is at the beginning of the thing. Okay? We looked at some scriptures. Just want you to remember them. Kind of log them into your heart. Amen is not to be used as a religious epithet. Amen is a powerful word in the Spirit. It is a powerful word in the Spirit. It means, so be it, faithful and verily. Amen is a powerful word in the Spirit. And we use it in the natural and not understanding or grasping the magnitude of it. it is so powerful that Jesus himself is referred to as the Amen of God. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." I love that because, you know, you remember Jesus said, "I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." But here it says that the Amen of God says these things because he is the faithful and true witness. He is the beginning of the creation of God. You know, God is a God that functions in patience, and he told us that in patience we should possess our soul. Our soul is the part that continues to barter with God, argue with God, try to get God to prove something. See, our spirit agrees with God. It concurs willfully. But our soul goes through changes, our mind, will, and emotion. See, it goes through changes because our will can sometimes be subject to what we feel and experience. Our will does not settle itself easily in what we believe. Okay? That's why we are soon troubled or soon moved off of a thing. The Bible tells us that we're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love. See, we're not supposed to be hit and miss Christians. But sometimes, because we haven't practiced believing until the soul is saved. Okay, we looked at that, and we'll go back and just revisit that in Hebrews chapter 10. But see, we've got to settle our soul by our spirit, which is settled by the word. Okay? If the word is not settled, okay, then all we're doing is basically wanting the word to work and not believing the word that was spoken is going to work. Numbers chapter 23:19 says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it? Shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it? Shall he not bring it to pass? See, that has to be the position of our heart. We can't be wondering if God is going to do it, because that's not faith. Okay? That's not believing. That takes us to the place where the centurion came to Jesus, and Jesus asked him if he believed that he could heal his son, and he said, I believe, but help my unbelief. I appreciate the man because at least he was honest. He said, yeah, I believe that you're able to do this, but I need for you to help the part of me that's arguing with your word. Help my unbelief. See, I've got a situation that's very demanding, and it's very dear to me. And I know you are God. I know you are the one that has the answers. But right now, I'm going to be honest. Help my unbelief. Help me to arrest those thoughts that continue to come up. The man was honest with Jesus. So I wonder, are we being honest, or are we just still kind of just saying, you know, I know God can. I hear people with that position of thought so much, you know, they'll say, I know God is able, but see, you needed Jesus to help your unbelief, because at that point you haven't come to the place where you trust him with everything. You would like to, or you even think that you should trust him, but you haven't yet. Because when I trust him with everything, I no longer have to keep looking at it. Okay, let's look at it from this perspective in the natural. When you plant a corn seed in the ground, do you have to dig the corn seed up to see if the corn seed is germinating? No, you have confidence in the seed, don't you? You put it in the ground, and you should rise, go to bed, go to sleep, get up, and you don't know how it's working. I don't have to investigate it. I know that the process that has been put in place works. God says, as long as the earth remains, there shall be seed time and harvest. You don't have to concern yourself about that. He goes on further to say there'll be summer and winter, cold and heat. In other words, there are things that are set in motion that are guaranteed, and his word is one of those things. See, so then it behooves us. It becomes our responsibility to say, I planted it, and then since I planted it, it will be watered, and God will give increase. Do you say it, amen? Now what? These things saith the amen, the beginning of the creation of God. Again, just remember that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It gives you the ability to enter into that which was spoken, which must come to pass. And in the book of Revelation, it says these things must shortly come to pass. God hastens his word to perform. He's watching over it to make sure that which he said, you get to enjoy. As a question, if someone prepared your favorite meal and they knew that it was your favorite meal, the only thing that's required of you after they prepare your favorite meal is for you to enjoy your favorite meal. You don't go in the kitchen and remind them of how you want this done, because they already know this is your favorite meal. They are interested in blessing you by preparing your favorite meal. It would be wise for you to enter into what it says in the 23rd Psalm. It says that God prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He knows what's necessary for your deliverance, and he's preparing it in the very presence of your enemies. Your job is not to tell him what to put in your favorite meal. Your job is to sit at the table and begin to eat. I mean, that's how simple this whole thing is. See, but sometimes we're trying to do more than is necessary. Yeah, we're trying to do God's job. I get that, but I went easier. You're trying to do more than is necessary. It's not necessary for me to do God's job. He is the Lord by himself. So he doesn't need my help. He's looking for my worship. He's seeking for that. He's looking for my praise, which is an indication that I trust him. And if I haven't learned just trust him in this area, then my prayer should be, Lord, help my unbelief. You know, the man didn't say, help my faith. He didn't say, give me what I want. He said, I want to believe you. Help my unbelief. Remove that from me. Cause me to think differently. I recognize who I'm talking to. I recognize the promise that has been given or sent to me. Help what I don't believe. Cause me to sit at your prayer. Cause me to do what Martha didn't do. See, Martha didn't sit at the feet of Jesus. Mary chose the one thing that was needful. Martha was troubled about a great many things. She was trying to see if it was going to work, if it was going to be so, if she can rely on the word of God. But Mary sat at his feet. Mary didn't need help. That's what Martha said. She said, "Lord, bid Mary help me." See? But Mary was already, she was already positioned in the promise. That's, you can say, let's write that one down. She was positioned in the promise. I would like to see you positioned in the promise. Amen. See, when you're positioned in the promise, you are participating in a lively hope. When you are watching to see if the promise is going to work, you're not positioned correctly. You know, God was not too happy when the children of Israel came to the place where he was to gaze upon him. He said, in fact, if they come and do that, I'm going to strike them through. That's going to be, since you want to participate in death, I will accommodate you, he said. Because if you believe me, that would be a position of life. But you're going to bring death into my presence. And since that's what you want, I'll strike you through. Just gazing to see if I'm going to be the one that does it. I've already promised it. I'm not a man that I should lie. If I spoke it, I'll make it good. See? Sit down at the table and prepare to eat. We're not the ones that's begging and pleading, but we are the ones that are affirming and agreeing. When we use the amen, that's what comes after in the name of Jesus, amen. That's what we, the way we say it. That should be an honor unto the Lord, not a stamp of our approval. The place where our affirmation and expectation should be. See? He's the one that said amen before I did. And when he said amen in the spirit, it means so be it. It doesn't mean I need it. See, it's more powerful. Like I said, last time I was reminded of J.G.F. Handel got saved in one night, and he wrote the Handel's Messiah, the whole work. It's got a ton of songs in it, and in the last 7 pages, there's one word for the whole song, and that word is amen. I thought that was just amazing to me. 7 pages of one word made up the song. Because what happened is he got saved and received a visitation from God, and he entered into things being at a different dimension, at a different rate, at a different pace. I mean, the word amen is so powerful in heaven that we are able to enter into the power of that word from heaven in the earth. I mean, I'm just trying to get you to see how much God is wanting you to participate in his plan. The amen should mean something. It's an affirmation of his faithfulness, of his steadfast love. Amen comes at the end of a petition that's based on accurate knowledge of a covenant. Again, proper positioning. Okay. God is interested in you being a witness for him, correct? So because he's interested in you being a witness for him, then he's allowing you to enter into testimony, to give testimony, to give your position of heart that is settled the same way his word is settled. See, we shouldn't be, again, trying to get God to do it because we said amen, now God prove it. No, I said amen, I can rest now. See? I asked the question last time, and we'll start there and just kind of catch up. I asked the question, is the amen at the end or is the amen the pathway? And I believe that Jesus was establishing in John chapter 14 that the amen is the pathway. Let's see this. John chapter 14, that's the passage where it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, I love this part of it, that where I am, ye may be also. He didn't say that where I'll be. He said that where I am. And whither I go, and he said, the way, where I'm going, you know. And the way, you know. And then Thomas said, no, Jesus, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said in verse 6, I am the way, the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way. That means it's not just the end of a thing. He's the beginning of the process of getting to where you want to be. Okay? So then he is the way, the truth, and the life. He wants us to experience this life in two dimensions, in two places. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, so it's not just the end, it is the beginning and the process throughout. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay? So I'm trying to not make your thinking religious. Okay? Because religious thinking does not get you to the place of righteousness. Okay, well, that's just the way it's easy to say it that way. Religious thinking does not get you to the place of righteousness. See, Jesus was made unto us righteousness. So that would be the path in a continuing motion, wouldn't it be? Otherwise, I would just stand on top of the hill and wave and let everybody look at me rather than live the life that righteousness requires me day by day to live. He was made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. See, this is not a religious exchange. See, if we're going to participate in it from that perspective, then we're going to bring this righteousness into laws rather than life. Didn't Jesus say to us in John chapter 10, he says, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm come that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. That's a continuing process, isn't it? He didn't say, I've come that you might have things. And I guess that's just the way we think. We think from the perspective of things. No, he came that you might have life and have that life more abundantly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, it is a perpetual relationship development. See, that I know and have confidence that if I ask anything in his name, that's what he's going to make sure happens in my life, in that situation. See? He's come that I might have life, not just a gift, not just a I place to receive one time. He wants me to live in his presence. He's wanting us to grow up so that the life that I have in his presence will be one that glorifies his presence, not one that glorifies me or what I might have needed. I believe this is probably why Christians have not had the testimony that we should have, because all we present is God as a butler, if you would. He brought me this. He gave me that. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, in heaven, the word amen is alive. It's not the culmination. It's the whole process. Am I making this clear to you? See, because I think that we've looked at it from a perspective that minimizes it. Did it not say that we're supposed to partake of the fullness of his grace? Fullness. That would be more of the process than the event, wouldn't it? The event would be whatever was necessary for the day. That would be the event for the situation. But no, he wants me to participate in fullness. Okay? That's more the process than the event. That's not the outcome. Okay, wow. That's not the outcome. It's the guarantee. I love the way he just said that. It's not the outcome, it's the guarantee. You go to the guarantee when you don't like the outcome. That's when you want to go in and make the guarantee come into effect. And the guarantee was the process, not the event. I mean, I'm just so that we get this, so we slow it down. If I'm only looking at the event as my approval of what God is doing, then I go from event to event to event. I'm never satisfied. But if I have the guarantee, then I don't have to worry about the exchange of events, do I? I already know what the outcome is. See, to me, heaven is a guarantee. And I can live in heaven now. Otherwise, Jesus would have to tell me something different in the prayer that he said was the model prayer. And he said, I'm supposed to pray that his will would be done here. He's given unto me all things that pertain to life and godliness. See, that's here. Again, that's some ham where I am, isn't it? Some steak on my plate. That's not stuff that's just going to be for me in the great by and by. See, I'm trying to learn how to function by the process. I'm practicing now. Let's do it this way. I'm practicing now for forever. Amen. Amen. See, what I do now is what I'm going to do forever. My training needs to be complete in my forever existence. I'm trying not to get too deep, but that's just the way I hear it. My training here is for my forever existence. Didn't David show us that? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, this is my training for my forever. Glory to God. I mean, if you would think of it from that perspective, then I'm not trying to put God in a box. I'm trying to live in my forever now. Did he not tell me that I'm the one that could call those things that be not as though they were? See, I'm training myself for my forever now. As he is so are we in this world. So you said amen. Now what? The training begins. See? It was not just something that I would like to have, Jesus, if you would. No, I need to train my heart so that I can see things from God's perspective. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. He said when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide you into truth, lead you into truth. He didn't say he would guide me unto truth. Unto truth would probably be an event. Into truth would be the process from the beginning through the end, through eternity. See, I just believe that we're putting things in the wrong perspective. Did it not say that God gave Jesus the Spirit without measure? And that same invitation was given to us in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to, just flip over there. Proverbs chapter 3. See, we look at these things from the wrong perspective. Watch this. Starting at verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandment. Let thine heart do what? Let your heart keep my commandments. He didn't say, let your heart remember my commandments. He said, let your heart live there. Let this be the place that you abide. John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you will. Let your heart keep my commandments. Why? For length of days, my God, my God. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. He said length of days. That would be days without end. Is that correct? Length of days. He was not trying to get you to be older. Okay. He was inviting you into eternity. He's called the Ancient of Days, not the old man of the day. Oh, please, y'all, come on. He's called the Ancient of Days, and he's inviting you into that same life. For length of days and long life and peace shall that. Did he not say that the increase of his peace, there would be no end? Isaiah chapter, come on now. That's the way we know him. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. See, he's trying to invite us into the process that's from now on, eternal. Not just for the event or for the occasion. And I believe that we have, just like the disciples did, the children of Israel did, they came to serve God, to serve Jesus for the meat, for the thing that he can bring right then. They say, you didn't follow me because you love God. You followed me because you got bread. You follow me because of an occasion. This was not your vocation. This was not your vocation. This was an occasion. See, and he's been inviting us into everlasting life from Jump Street. But you have to prepare for that. Your thinking has to change now. See, otherwise, again, you're just going to go from event to event. And let me just tell you something about living from event to event. Mountaintop experiences will take you to a valley low experience because you didn't have enough to sustain you from mountaintop to mountaintop. And then you'll begin to question God in your valleys because you didn't prepare for eternity. This is what we're trying to get over to you, that these promises endure forever. His word is forever settled in the heavens. Length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Why? So shall thou find favor and good understanding in two places, with God and with man. Do you see him inviting you into eternity right then, right there? See, he says, when you do this, you will learn how to live as an honor to God, and you will be able to bring praise through man's eyes. Men will see your good works, and they'll have different conversations. They'll glorify God. Right then and there, Proverbs chapter 3, he invited you into having this in two dimensions, with God and with man. That's what happened to Jesus when he came here. He increased with stature, Luke 2:52, with God and with man. And as he is, so are we. So then we should increase in wisdom and in stature with God and with man. But it's evident we didn't do too good with the with God part, because we keep coming back to him, asking him to do the same thing again, 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 again. See, but if we would learn the principle and not the occasion, follow the whole thing, not the event. See, when I live in the word, I get the word's results in every situation. I don't have to ask a whole lot harder over here because this situation seems to be more difficult. No, I live in the word. His words abide in me. And then he said, I'll ask. He didn't say I will beg. Come on, y'all. He said, I'll ask, and it'll be done. It'll be given me. Done unto me. See, that's a different place to live. Keep the word with your heart. Because your mind has trouble sometimes. Ooh, this is good, Lord. Your mind has trouble remembering things sometimes. Because sometimes we live life by that which God did lately. You know the song, what have you done for him lately? Ooh. Because we live up the mountaintop experiences that way. But he's trying to get you to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's what he is. He's the Lord our God. He changes not. That's why we're not consumed. And he's wanting us to be as faithful as he is. Be perfect, Jesus said. Be mature. Stop being tossed to and fro. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, you know the way. And immediately we asked questions. We don't know where you're going. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. See, so he's invited you into this. Verse 4 again. Because when you keep, when you let your heart, when you let your heart engage at this level, then you'll find favor. You'll find good understanding. And you'll find it in two dimensions. With God, in the sight of God. You'll find it in two dimensions, in the sight of God. God will look at you and see the maturation process that is taking place. And you know when he sees the maturation part taking place, the Bible says in Psalms 84:11, he said he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. He will make sure that you get yours. He doesn't have to break you off a piece. He'll make sure that the flow is active in your life. Glory to God. This is the invitation that he's making to us. And in the last days, it's going to be incumbent upon us to walk in this kind of assurance, to walk in this kind of power. The world is looking for it. And has not, and so then because they have not seen it, they go try to make up things as they go. They come up with alternative ways for a thing to happen. When the blessings of the Lord are available and in play every day. But we're listening to people that would say peace, peace when there is no peace. Because they don't see the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Waiting for it. Waiting for covenant kingdom people that understand that my God shall supply all my needs. And that as my God supplies my need, I'll then be able to minister unto you out of what my God's grace gave me the ability to give. Why? Because that's what he said here. Let's just keep on reading it, just so that you can see it. I'm not out of school. You'll find favor. You'll find favor and good understanding. Why? If he placed it there, and wants you to find it, to discover it. He wants you to release it. Is that correct? He said in the sight of God and in the sight of man. So then that tells me right there, man is looking for it. Man is the one God wants to grow up in him so that he can display this great love that he's given to us so that people will then be drawn by that love and they will understand that the answers for the situations in their life come from a God that supplies. See? But we've been just trying to go from event to event, not understanding that he wants us to display this each and every day. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he'll direct your path. This is the invitation that he made for us, even in the Old Testament. And yet he will find us leaning to our own understanding. Leaning to the place where we have no confidence that which he said is what's going to happen. We still argue with whether or not we deserve it or not. Well, let me help you out with your deserve. It ain't got nothing to do with it. He hath, past tense, blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your deserve ain't got nothing to do with it. He's already done that. Amen. And then we're living by a understanding that says, I don't deserve that. When he's given it to you, whether you deserved it or not. In fact, the word grace means that you get what you didn't deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you don't deserve so that you can obtain mercy and you can find the grace that's there to help in the time of need. See, your God is a very present God in the time of trouble. Okay, please. He is a very present help, even though you don't deserve it. Come on. Obtain the mercy, find the grace. Amen. Please process that, Hebrews chapter 4. Please process that, verse 16. Please process that. He said, obtain the mercy and find the grace. Come to the place where you recognize, deserve, and got nothing to do with it. I obtained the mercy. And that wasn't all he provided. Now I'm going to find the grace that's present to help in the time of need. Because the word of God is alive, it's quick, it's powerful. See? That's what's connected to this. I try to bring scripture from a position where it will come alive in your thinking. Because if it's not alive in your thinking, I'll just say it this way, if it's not alive in your thinking, it will not be alive in your life. That's what Jesus said. If my words abide in you, if they are alive in you, if they are alive in you, if you are alive in my word, then your conversation will be different. See, but if the word is not alive in you, didn't say you didn't know it. Come on, y'all. He did not say you didn't know the word. He said if it's alive and if it abides in you. There's a lot of things. The Bible says the devils know that there is one God and they tremble. Didn't say the word was alive in them. It said they knew. See, but we have been invited into this great knowledge of his glory. In fact, he said that the whole earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, the same way the waters cover the sea. That's not when you get to heaven, beloved. That's here. He said the earth, the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 2:14. See? He's warning that. Here, he wants to display that in the sight of man. He wants you to walk in that in the sight of God. Two dimensions. Because they will not know or see God if you don't display God. And I don't mean display as a banner. I mean display as a process of life. The just are supposed to live by faith. People can't help but see your life. And then they will begin to ask questions about the life that they see that does different than theirs. That always comes to the point of victory because he always causes you to triumph. He gives you the victory. And here they come with questions, and there you go with answers. You trust him with all your heart. You don't have time to lean to your own understanding. Possibly if this ain't going to work. No, we don't do dismay. This may work, this may not. We don't do dismay. We do what he say, not dismay. Because when I do what he says, I do Bible things, I get Bible results. Every time, all the time. Okay? He's watching over that word to perform it. He wants to bring that to pass. He wants to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect heart, a heart that's mature towards him. He's looking over the whole earth to show himself strong. So the amen is not the end of the process. The amen is the process. I am the way. You can go back to John chapter 14 just to make sure that we get that. See, back in Proverbs, he invited you Okay, God, I'm at. He invited you into eternity starting back then. But you have to practice it over and over. This is the transforming of the mind right here. This is the renewing of the mind right here. See? And as I do that, then I begin to think from the perspective of victory rather than the perspective of trouble. I just introduce my trouble to my God. That's what I do. I don't go talk to my God about my trouble. I don't have to talk to my God about my trouble. I talk to my trouble about my God. Hallelujah. Yeah. See? Because God is wanting to display that grace that he's given me. And I said it before, if you don't live in the word, the you can't release what the word has said to you. And we saw that in Hebrews. Okay, all right. I'll go to Hebrews first. Study John chapter 14. Because in John chapter 14, he's asking you to show that you believe by doing something. You in John chapter 14, hold on a second. I just want you to see these things. Philip was asking, he said, "I don't know the way." And then Jesus asked, he said, "Have you been so long with me and you still don't know nothing?" That's verse 9. And he says, "Believe that I'm in the Father and the Father in me. And the words that I speak unto you, I don't speak of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. The word that's on the inside of me, I speak the words that my Father, I only say what he says, I only do what I see him do. That which is alive on the inside of me. That's the one that does the work. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the verily work's sake. Verily, truly, I say unto you that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." And he's trying to get us to get to the place where we have confidence that if I have a request in the name of Jesus, it's a done deal. But I can't believe that thinking that I'm unworthy. Because he said, the works that I do, you're going to do also, and greater. That's what he said. Last I checked, that was in red in your Bible. Jesus himself said that. So why do we have such a hard time understanding, comprehending, and believing it? He took limits off. He said, if you ask, underline, circles, stars, anything in my name. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do. See, we've got to get to the place where our life functions in the two places. In front of men, in the sight of men, and in the sight of God. We've got to grow up in this, beloved. And this is not so that you can have stuff. See, this ain't even about stuff. To prove it ain't about stuff, he said you would do works, greater works. That ain't about stuff. That's about the ability to invite people into the relationship with God that you have. Because that's what Jesus did. I am in the Father and the Father in me. He just invited us into the relationship that he has with the Father. And he says, I want you to do the same thing. Invite them into the relationship that you have with the Father. And if you ask anything in my name, because that relationship is alive, because that relationship is working. I'm hoping you're tying this together. Because we are required to walk in this. Okay? Okay? Verse 12 says this. He just said you're required to work in this. Come on. Verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. Wait a minute. That got every blood-bought believer right there. He did not say prophet. He did not say pastor. He did not say that. He said, he that believeth on me. Amen. Your name was just written in the he that believeth on me. And what is the requirement of he that believeth on me? The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these. Wow. That's been in your Bible all this time, beloved. That's what it's going to take with a COVID-19 culture and understanding. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' day, it was leprosy. And Jesus didn't have no issue with leprosy. It was 10 lepers that he cleansed, glory to God, not one, and he did 10 at one time by saying, I will be thou cleansed, done. And he said, we're going to do greater works. Come on now. He said, I will go show yourself to the priest. And as they were going, come on, come on, come on, come on, y'all help me. He didn't say, and as they were believing, they came and said, have mercy. And he said, I have mercy. Go to the priest and show yourself for the cleansing. Go, do, because I've already cleansed you. Go. And it says, as they were going, one of them came back. And Jesus asked the one that came back, he said, were there not 10 cleansed? He didn't say, were there not 10 believing? He said, were there not 10 cleansed? Greater works shall you do. COVID-19. Glory to God. See? But it's going to require us understanding that he meant what he said. That he and the Father have this relationship, and he invited me into that relationship so that through the relationship, not through the religion, through the relationship, the greater works get done. Amen. Amen. If you don't live it, you can't release it, because faith is the substance, the substructure of life, things hoped for. If you don't have no support, you don't have no supply. That's where we were last time in Hebrews. Go on to Hebrews. I didn't ask you to go there 2-3 times. go to Hebrews chapter 10 just so you can see it. I hope you're getting some out of this. I know it's blessing me because I'm going back and refreshing this over and over and over again so that I can then walk out the things that he's requiring. He that believeth in my name, he that believeth on me. Hebrews chapter 10. And again, I say these things. The Bible was not written in chapter and verse for anything but study. It was not written in chapter and verse because that's the way he talked. He talked in a thought, and he completed the thought. Sometimes the thought did not get completed until the next chapter. Let's go to verse 32 in chapter 10. And he says, but call to remember the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great flight of afflictions, partly while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of those who were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your good, knowing that in yourselves, I want you to get that. This is not something you hoping for. He said that in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not because of what's in you. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that tarries shall come, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now, all of this was said so that you understand the just live by faith. The just don't visit faith at the event from one event to another. The just live by faith. But if any man draw back, then my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not those that draw back unto perdition, but we are those that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith the elders obtained a good report. It didn't say that by faith the elders believed for a good report. It said that by faith the elders obtained a good report. Because we are not those that draw back. We don't have to go do this stuff all over again from event to event. We live in the process of faith that's alive. Faith that is hinged on the relationship that we have. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel also offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness. He obtained witness by faith. He didn't obtain witness by works. He obtained witness by faith that he was righteous, God testifying of what he did, God testifying of his gifts. And because God testified of his gifts, being dead, he still was speaking. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he should not see death, but and he was not found because God translated him. But before he had this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He did not say he is a rewarder of them that do everything right. He said he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Relationship, being alive in the heart of those that diligently seek him, they will get reward. Now, I hope you see that it was the thought was not completed in chapter 10. It went on through chapter 11, and it doesn't stop here. I am, because I just want to get that point. But as you study it out, you'll see that everything that was done by faith. Through the relationship garnered in faith. Because they just believed God. They kept active in what God said he was going to do. And they didn't even see it. That's why we have a more enduring, we have better promises. That's what it says as you go on in chapter 11. Go to the last two verses. And these all, verse 39, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, glory to God, that they without us should not be made perfect. See, we have better promises, so then we should have better results. Amen. But the relationship that God is asking you to enter into and continue in, that would be the reason why. Oh, God. So much stuff to say. So just as a review. So the name of Jesus is not the key of our possession. It's an extension of his life, relationship. You know the WWJD? Yeah, relationship. What would be done with Jesus' presence being here? That's not a question that's rhetorical. What would Jesus do? I don't know. No. What would be done if Jesus was here? That's what would Jesus do? WWJD. See? What would be accomplished with him being here? Were the 10 not cleansed? What would be done? Were the blind not healed? What would be done? Were the lame not made whole? What would be done? WWJD is not just a cute thing. It's I need to think about. I've got better promises. So that because he lives in me, what should be done now? Amen does not mean God has to now prove it, because his work is already finished. God made your heart again to receive fullness from him, not to receive things from him. And that's always been connected to his name, his presence, his joy, and his love. God revealed his name to the people of God so that they would know what to expect. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 3, verses 8 through 14, and then chapter 6. See, the children of Israel, they were invited into the relationship or character of God. They were invited into it. He made them his children, his people. Okay? And he did the same thing for us. Watch this. They were praying and trying to get God to do something, hoping God would do something. This is when God was dealing with Moses, introducing himself to Moses. Boy, that was some good stuff. And Moses saw at the top, chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led his flock on the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why is the bush not burnt? And when the Lord saw, oh God, this is so good stuff. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God is waiting on you to show interest so that he can display greatness. Please write that down. God is waiting on you to display interest so that he can display greatness. Every time, all the time. As soon as God sees you turn aside to see what this means, not to see, he didn't just go to see what was happening. He wanted to see what this means, which would be revelation. Oh, this stuff ties together so good. Moses went to see why it was happening. not what was happening. Did you see that? And Moses, I will turn aside and see this great sight. Circle the word why. He didn't bring a what. He brought a why. See, we sometimes bring a what. What can I get God to do? I would rather know why these things happen, because if I get the answer to the why, what will continually happen because I have the why, don't I? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And God said, draw not nigh hither, but put thy shoes off from thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. He says, Moses, you've never walked here before. I don't want you to come into my presence and try to walk as you walked before. Take your shoes off, Moses. Holy ground is not where you walked before, Moses. Don't bring your past thinking into this new dimension, Moses. Take off the old stuff. Moreover, he said, I am the God. This is God introducing himself. I am the God of thy father. God will do that to you. He will bring to you the things that you have been accustomed to, so he can introduce you. Please write this down. He's going to bring to you what you are accustomed to, so that he can bring you into the new thing that he wants to do in your life. He said, take off your shoes. I'm going to show you new stuff. I don't want you walking like you used to walk. Moreover, besides this, I am the God. He didn't say I was. He says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face and was afraid to look upon God. And he said, surely I've seen the affliction. God say, I already know what you're here for. I know what's in your heart. Surely I've seen the affliction of thy people in Egypt. And I've heard the cry by the reason of their taskmasters. And I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them. Glory to God. I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land and unto a good land and large. Glory to God. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey, and unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hevites and the termites and any other ites that you can find. I'm going to deliver them, he said, from their oppressors. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians have oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said, oh, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly, underline, circle, stars, I will be with thee. And this will be a token that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Notice what he's doing. He's getting him. He's getting him to renew his mind. He's prophesying to him. He says, this is a sign that when you do it, you're going to come back to this mountain and worship. And Moses said, well, when I go to the children of Israel and tell them, then they're going to say unto me, well, tell me his name. And God said to Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. He says, I want you to do things for me. And in order to do these things, I'm going to remind you of my name. Now go to chapter 6. I want you to just see this. This is what he's doing. Okay? He's getting things done, but he has to go back and review. Again, he's going back and bringing you up to speed, if you would. Okay? And then so he introduces himself as I am, the Lord God Almighty. Okay? The Lord God Almighty. And then Moses got that revelation, and he went to getting the children of Israel to make it understood that God is God. But watch this. Chapter 6, verse 1. This is a new thing. This is what God's going to do. And the Lord said to Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. With a strong hand he will let them go. And with a strong hand shall he drive out them out of his land. And God spoke to Moses and said, notice what he's doing here. He said, I am the Lord. He gave him his name again, didn't he? And then he said, the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, by the name the Lord God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. I mean, God is saying, they've known me limitedly because they know me as the Lord God Almighty. They've known me as the great I am. But I want to do a new thing. And in order to do the new thing, I'm going to introduce you to a name that means more for your deliverance than you've ever seen before. But by my name, Jehovah, I was not known unto them. See, he's going to give us entrance into using his name. Okay? All of that was just support. That was a structure so that we can see that. Okay? So he reminded him of the name Lord God Almighty. And that was good. I will ask you, the things that God has done for you, that's good. But the new thing is going to be done because of an understanding of the new name. I just want you to see that. I want you to expand your heart's position so that you can then go into the land that flows. Come on, y'all. So that you can go into the land that flows with his grace and abundance. Of his fullness you shall receive. We don't even go to a land that flows with milk and honey anymore. We're going to go to a land that flows with his fullness. And of his fullness have you all received grace for grace. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. Same was in the beginning with God. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, and of his fullness. Okay, so we want to receive of his fullness. I'm trying to see, because it's already 10:30. And I'm trying to see how, because this is, I'm gonna have to stop. I'm going to have to stop. I see that coming. Okay, I'm just going to finish up these a little bit here. So he's going to give us a revelation of his name. Okay? And let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. And you know this is the one where Jesus began to stretch out the disciples, okay? Get them to go to a deeper revelation. Let's look at it. In verse 13 and following, and when Jesus was coming to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? He's going back to the name, isn't he? He's going back to their understanding of why things are done. And they said, some have given you the name John the Baptist. Some have given you the name of Elijah. Some have given you the name of Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, I need to stretch you out. I need to take you in. But who do you say that I am? Notice the reference was to the I am. Okay. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Did not the Father from heaven reveal the name Jehovah to Moses? Did not the Father remind him of the name the Lord God Almighty? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So then that revelation, because of relationship, is being put in play right here, right now. Okay? He said, Blessed are you, for the Father hath revealed this unto you. And I say unto you, verse 18, that you are a rock or solid because of this. And upon this solid rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And because of this solid rock revelation, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Peter was not the rock. Peter became a rock. He became a conduit of revelation. And upon this conduit of revelation, Jesus said, I'm going to build. I'm going to build my whole church. And this revelation that I'm building upon, the gates of hell itself cannot prevail against it. And because I'm giving you this revelation, comes with that revelation, keys to the kingdom. The ability to execute functions when needed. Whatever you bind is bound. Whatever you loose is loose. Because God is revealing more of who he is. This whole dissertation is because of who God is, who Jesus is. Okay? I just want you to know that. See that. This was the beginning of the building of the church. The beginning of the building of victory that cannot be stopped. Upon this revelation, he said, I'm going to start the building process. So then that's what I'm asking you. Are you allowing him to equip you for eternity through the process of revelation, his building block? Because as you allow him to do that, you will then be able to do the works that he did and greater, because the revelation of Jesus Christ would be alive in your life. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way. God's waiting on you today. Father, we just bless you. And we thank you for your word that draws us into a greater revelation of the relationship that you want to have with us in eternity. And our eternity starts today. Our eternity ends when we see you face to face. Thank you for the training that you're giving us day by day so that we can walk in victory in the midst of situations, circumstances that have not had answers before. But you will build those answers in us and release those answers through us because of revelation by your Spirit. We give you praise, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. And the redeemed of the Lord sit together. Amen. Amen. Well, now I'll turn it over to the part of the call where we would take questions or comments about the ministry for tonight. So if you have any questions or comments, I'll let you ask those questions. Area code 678-294-8826. 678-294-8826. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry for tonight?
Oh, I appreciate it, Minister Steve. You gave me a lot to digest. And but you're right, it's all about relationship, and that grace is, I'm just so thankful for it. And when you were talking about the when we don't feel that we deserve, it's not a matter of deserving, it just is so. I'm going to let that word continue to work on me to renew my mind, because in my flesh, you know, I don't feel like I deserve such grace, such goodness and love of a God, but I know that that's what he came for, and I don't want to negate or slander that for him. So I'm going to let the word keep renewing my mind of that. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. It's a real word. Deserving got nothing to do with it. Amen. It's his love, great love. It didn't say limited love. It said great love wherewith he loved us. Okay, area code 404-453-2953. You have the mic. Any questions or comments about the ministry tonight? Amen. And again, just thank you for being on the call and allowing God's grace to be revealed to us so that we can grow up in it. You know, that's the thing about it. If we don't grow up in the grace that has appeared, that teaches us, then the world does not get to the place that they will experience his loving kindness and victory, because they're looking for this, but we have to grow up in it so that we can release it. So again, thank you all for joining us here at Live Deliverance .com. And if the Lord has laid on your heart that you should sow a seed, then go ahead and do that, because our prayers are continually that the riches of his grace would be extended to you, because you participate in the calling of people's souls being renewed. That's what we do here. We give them a word of encouragement that will renew their minds and cause them to be able to come out of bondage and to enjoy the light of Jesus Christ day by day. So if the Lord is laying on your heart to sow a seed, then you just go to livedeliverance.com, go to the donate page, and be obedient in what area or whatever amount that God tells you to. Don't draw back. We're not those that draw back. We are those that move forward unto the things that God has for us. All right? So, again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom. Until the next Monday, when we'll get another opportunity to share the truth of the living word of God again in your hearing. Be blessed.